God's word for you, Psalm 119, verses 2 and 3, beginning with verse 2. Blessed are they who keep his testimonies. They seek him with all their heart. Testimonies is the plural of edah in Hebrew, the second synonym for law or word of God in this psalm. Sometimes translations use decree for this word, but we will use testimony since these are not always commands, but can be the message of God for his people. Your testimonies are to my delight. They are my counselors. Psalm 119, verse 24. Such testimonies enable his people to walk in his ways. We'll talk about that in verse 3. And God wants us to follow his commands and keep them diligently. Yet we understand that in our fallen condition, we cannot keep God's decrees and laws perfectly as he would have us do. Instead, we must throw ourselves down at his feet and beg for his mercy. Only through his merciful love can we hope to have a place with him in heaven. Only through his merciful love do we receive any blessings at all from him here on this beautiful created world. How blessed a man is to keep your testimonies, O Lord. They begin before Moses brought down the stone tablets and named them your testimonies in Deuteronomy 4. Abraham showed what a testimony is when he gave the Philistines the 7 ewe lambs as a testimony, a proof and a reminder of his own work in digging the well of Beersheba in Genesis 21. For all of God's holy word is a testimony, a proof and a reminder of what he has done, a holy declaration of his acts on behalf of the crown of his creation, mankind. To keep the Lord's testimonies is surely to seek after him with all one's heart. What would God have me do? He declares this in his word. What has God done for us? He reveals this in his word. What will God do for us? He promises this in his word. He would have me fear, love, and trust in him above all things, and love my neighbor as myself. He has created us to be his own dear children, and he has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for all our sins, so that on the last day he will raise us from the dead, for death is the certain result of sin in the world, and he will bring us forever to himself in eternal life. What is it to seek God with all my heart? It is the whole heart, the whole person, body, mind, spirit, strength, will, thought, word, deed. It also means seeking and searching after God with an undivided heart. The godly search out his testimonies, as Augustine said, not because they are already living well, but that they might know how they ought to live. This is surely what the sinner repents, horrified at the sin that has been committed, frightened perhaps that his fellow man will find out, but terrified to realize that God already knows and that punishment is reserved for him on account of his sins, like, as Isaiah says, like tongues of fire licking up straw, and as dry grass sinks down in the flames, the Lord's anger burns and his hand is raised to strike them down. That's Isaiah 5, 24 and 25. But the sinner is drawn by the gospel of forgiveness and turns to God with all his heart, his whole being. And there in that act, we see the words here of the second verse. For a broken heart, as Charles Spurgeon observes, a broken heart may be whole, just as a heart may be divided and not broken. And it can never be whole until it is broken. Therefore, grieving sinner, groan with a broken heart and bitter grief, Ezekiel 21, with a broken heart and trembling bones, Jeremiah 23:9. For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise, Psalm 51. For the work of Jesus was to come into the world as the atonement to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, Isaiah 61. Verse 3, they do nothing wrong, they walk in his ways. The Lord calls us to follow him. What does the Lord ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees, Deuteronomy 10. So we walk in his ways. Ways is plural, and it is not a reference to multiple paths to heaven, since there is only one path to heaven, as we learn in John 14, verse 6. But it is a question that must be asked. For wherever the term his ways occurs, and there are lots of them, especially in Deuteronomy, in 1 Kings 2, 3, Psalm 119, 3, 128, 1, and Isaiah 42, 24, not to mention all the references to your ways in prayers to God. But it goes without comment in almost all of our commentaries and sermons. Does it stand, as the NIV Study Bible note on Psalm 25 says, as a metaphor for the demands of God's covenant? It would seem wiser to take the plural as, on the one hand, a reference to the law and the terrors of the law that leave the believer with no path apart from repentance, followed by the gospel of forgiveness in Christ, after which, then and only then, the multiple ways and paths in which the law permits us to walk in step with God in our good works follow. There are many good works available to the Christian, but all of them must align with God's will, that is, God's law, or else they're not good at all. For breaking the law is lawlessness, which is sin, 1 John 3:4. Therefore, the ways of this verse and others, and all the others like it, are the one way through Christ to salvation, and the many responses we have in faith to this salvation. For whether I am a doctor, lawyer, office worker, lumberjack, longshoreman, soldier, sailor, tent maker, painter, herdsman, cowboy, or minister, I can serve God by serving God's people, by loving my neighbor, beginning with my family, and in a life of prayer and repentance. In infancy, we are each born without the love of God in our hearts. We are born as enemies of God, little heathens all, selfish pagans with no knowledge or love of our Creator or Savior. But then baptism comes to us and washes us clean of our sins. Whoever believes in Christ is not condemned, and baptism creates saving faith in our hearts. There is no possible way for a human being to do nothing wrong, as we read here in the psalm, except that faith covers us with the blood, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and his obedience stands in place of our disobedience. Our love and gratitude for Christ motivates us to want to keep his decrees diligently. But our obedience is not what saves us. Our obedience is merely our response, like the wake of a great ship churning out through the ocean in new and clearly visible waves and little white caps. But the waves of our wake are soon overwhelmed by the aimless wild waves of the sea, obscuring what we once did out of love for Christ. And so we come about and continue our lifelong patrol, leaving a wake of gratitude and good deeds again and again wherever we go, guided by our good captain, Jesus our Lord. Notice the patterns of the verbs in these two verses. Keep, seek, do, and walk. This is the life of the believer. Keep his testimonies, O believer who is forgiven by Christ. Seek him with your whole heart, but broken heart, for he will mend your broken heart. Do nothing wrong, that is, know that your wrongdoing is forgiven, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you away from temptation and sin. And walk in God's ways. He has brought you through the only way, the lonely way, to the cross that will lead out of your own grave. And now he has opened up countless ways of saying thanks with your life. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.